Like so many markets in the U.S., Southern New Hampshire real estate is white hot. If you're ready to jump into home ownership, stay tuned as Tim Morgan from Morgan Moves shares strategies for shopping in this market.
You're listening to Triangle's Making Money Personal podcast, where we engage in real talk about financial matters that affect our community. Today's episode is sponsored by Triangle Credit Union, recently voted best credit union in New Hampshire.
Joining us today is Tim Morgan, real estate broker and team leader for the Morgan Moves team. Tim is a licensed real estate broker in New Hampshire and Massachusetts and was recently recognized as Realtor of the Year by the Greater Manchester Nashua Board of Realtors. Congratulations on your big win and welcome to the show, Tim.
Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. We're happy to have you. We're happy to have you. So before we start, I know that there's a special way and I always don't pronounce it. Is it realtor or realtor? We have to come right out and just tell me.
Yeah, we'll break this down for everyone. So it's actually realtor. Yeah, it's realtor, just like doctor, you know?
Okay. All right. Realtor. We have to remember that, Will. Okay.
Great question.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. All right. So why don't you go ahead and just share with our listeners like a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Well, my name is Tim Morgan, and I'm a real estate agent in New Hampshire, Massachusetts. And it's my primary job to help people buy and sell real estate. So what I do is I connect people with homes, I show, negotiate, and make people's dreams come true by kind of orchestrating that whole transaction.
Excellent.
Awesome. Tim, how long have you been a realtor?
I got licensed back in 2015, but I've been practicing since 2 years before that. So about awesome. 7 years.
Very cool. Very cool.
I will say this too about Tim. So he actually facilitated, he was our, is it a seller? Well, you were our realtor, right, Tim? For when you yep. sold our house in Merrimack. He did a fantastic job for our family. And then he actually found us the home that we're in right now in Nashua. So the one thing that, and I do remember, I did a review for him online, and I'll probably be regretting this now that it's, you know, out there and everybody can hear it. But Tim was amazing. You know, he was super good in just in terms of knowing exactly what we wanted. And that was the thing that he kept drilling down with me. He's like, okay, where do you want to live? What are your expectations? What are your goals? And at the time we were living in Merrimack. And for those, you know, who may or may not be familiar with the geography of Southern New Hampshire, we were only one town over, but we were 20 minutes away from everything that we do. And that included my work, my daughter's work, our church. And so we were constantly making this, this road trip every day, a 20-minute road trip. So one time I found this awesome house out in, where was that, Tim? Like, it was like out in New Boston or something like that. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I do remember this.
I sent the link to Tim and I was like, can we go look at this house? And he says, Terry, we can go look at this house if you really want to, but is it going to meet your objectives and meet your goal to live in Nashua? And I was like, no. So he did a great job of keeping me on course. And now we love the house that we live in. And so I do appreciate all of that. But
and I can actually attest to that. I haven't worked with Tim personally, like with purchasing or selling real estate, but just looking on Facebook, for example, and like on the Facebook groups for Nashua, and on occasion, there will be somebody asking, does anybody know a realtor? And a good majority of those comments are recommending Tim Morgan.
Yeah.
So that's a testament to, you know, how good of a job he does. And what's even more impressive is that soon after, you know, whoever recommends him, usually they tag him in the post, and a few minutes go by and he's already on it and he's conversating with the with the person who posted, saying, hey, you know, reach out if you have any questions, and leaves him his contact information. So he's really on top of it, of his game. So that's really impressive. So I just want to commend you for that, Tim.
Well, thanks so much, Will, for that. I really, really appreciate it. And, you know, we've got a lot of awesome clients like Terry and so many others in Nashua, and we really, really appreciate them, you know, pimping us out to all their Facebook friends and people in those groups, because that's how we find our customers. And, you know, word of mouth is huge. I know Terry mentioned that whole goal setting, and it's a really big part of my job to make sure that I'm following through on holding people accountable as well as them holding me accountable, right? So they're hiring me for the end result, and it's my job to get them there.
Good one.
Very good way to look at it. Yeah. So the climate for buying a home right now is absolutely insane. I'm hearing people are paying lots over asking price at times, and it's hard for especially first time home buyers to purchase a home. So why is it so difficult to buy a home right now in this area in particular?
You know, well, it's really, really challenging out there. And I wish I had a crystal ball to kind of tell us when it was going to calm down a little bit. But what has happened is this perfect storm, you know, for a seller, that the economy has been picking up. You know, people are in a great place to buy a home. And then we also had a pandemic happen just out of the blue. And when we expected that pandemic to kind of slam on the brakes of our real estate market and kind of kill everything, it did the exact opposite. It made people realize what's really important to them is really actually family and being closer to people that they love. And what we're finding across the board is kind of everyone is moving 30 minutes north. So you, if you lived in Boston, you're moving to Burlington. If you lived in Burlington, you're moving to North Massachusetts, Southern New Hampshire, and all the way up. So that has had, with, you know, the geography of, you know, Southern New Hampshire being 45 minutes to an hour outside of Boston, we got slammed. And a lot of these people are saying, you know what, we want to, you know, we can work from home now. And we want to be closer and have a house that's a little bit more affordable. And all these people are coming out of Massachusetts saying $500,000 house, no problem. You know, that's cheap in New Hampshire. And all the New Hampshire people are saying, what happened to all our $300,000 houses?
That's right.
And it's really challenging. And I think that really the only people that this market is benefiting is a seller, right? Because that seller is able to cash out on that extra equity in their house. But for buyers, you know, like you and I, it's tough. And it's even tough on real estate agents, because we're running around showing more houses to buyers. You know, we can see 10 to 15 offers in on a property in Nashua. So it's insane. And unfortunately, things are selling tens of thousands over. It's not uncommon to see something sell over, you know, 50,000 over asking right now. So it is a really perfect storm that's created this market to just really rise. I think last year in Nashua was like 14% over last year it rose. So it's a huge, huge number.
So how quickly are homes selling right now? Like if Terry put her house on the market today, when can you expect an offer and pretty much a done deal?
I've been bribing Terry to sell her house for like 6 months or a year. I've actually been calling her pretty regularly.
I blocked him for a while, guys. I'm not going to lie.
That's why I brought it up, because she's mentioned that to me. So
Yeah. I call a lot of my old buyers who now own homes. I'm like, hey, are you guys ready? Like, I think it's a really good time. No, I tell my sellers that every situation is unique. And I think if you price your house appropriately and you market it right, you know, that's my job to make sure that it goes out looking good. I expect the days on market to be less than 7. Oftentimes we see houses get listed on a Thursday and they're gone by Tuesday.
Wow.
Unreal.
And the reason it's even that long of a period is just because you're allowing to get all those showings in there along the way.
Right. And showings are typically on. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
If you just took the first offer, I mean, it could be quicker than that.
Right. And what I was going to say is that showings are typically on weekends, unless you have private showings, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it ranges. A lot of things that are happening in our market right now are like delayed showings. So the house gets listed on a Thursday, but they're not letting anyone into that house until Saturday. Right. If they are allowing showings, it's all by appointment.
Got it.
Tim, what about some of the apps that are out there? I'm sure that when you work with purchasers or somebody who's ready to buy a house, do you recommend any specific app so that they, you know, some that they might want to explore if there is a, and actually the, I guess my follow-up question to even that is how credible are the homes that are listed there? Like, are they yeah. For real?
So each state has its own MLS system, and MLS stands for Multiple Listing Service. So that's a really important tool for real estate agents because that's where the most accurate data is inputted. And then all of these other websites like Realtor.com, Zillow, Remax.com, all pull off of that MLS feed. It's called a syndication. And so when you're going on Zillow and you're looking for data, yes, it's probably mostly accurate, but there is a lot of misinformation out there. The biggest question we get from buyers and sellers is about the Zestimate on Zillow.
People say, I was just going to bring that up.
Oh, I know, right? It's a total bummer. Like, hey, why is the Zestimate so high or why is it so low and what does it mean? And I think a lot of buyers and sellers don't realize that that's just a guess. You know, that's a computer saying, hey, your house is in this neighborhood, other houses in your neighborhood have sold for this. It doesn't understand your upgrades. It doesn't understand how fierce the market is. So that's the biggest question that we get about kind of data accuracy out there. We, for our clients, we have an email tool and then our own app that syncs up directly with the MLS. It's updated every 15 minutes. It sends them the listings as soon as they get out. So we're trying to help our clients stay on top of the latest listings. That way they can get out there and see them.
Oh, that's great. Terrific.
But I think kind of second to that is like, when you're looking at data accuracy, the bigger battle that buyers are having is, yeah, they want to get in to see the house, but those sellers are blocking them out until the weekend. And I have so many of my clients that are saying like, this is consuming my life. Like, this is consuming right. My weekends on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm running around to like 7 different open houses in a 2-hour period, as am I, as a real estate agent. I'm trying to get all my clients into all those same houses. And it's tough. So it's really tricky.
So for like new homeowners, for example, what are some strategic steps that they can do to get into their first home, even in this hot market right now?
Yeah. So for first-time home buyers, there's a lot of different things that they can do. The first, I always tell my buyers, if you're buying someone's home, they want to know that they're going to care for it. A lot of times people have lived there. They know their neighbors. They know the house, right? It's an emotional attachment that people have to this structure, which is so funny, but people get really, really attached to their homes. So I always tell my buyers, if you can write a letter, be, you know, specific but vague. Some things that you want to say in your letter is, hi, my name's Tim Morgan. You know, my family and I saw your house over the weekend. I noticed you had a photo of your dog. We also have a dog and we love him. You know, it's a golden retriever or whatever you have. And then just leave it off on a light note. You know, don't say pick or offer. Just try to have your personality come through on it. Include a photo. Things that you don't want to say in these letters. We've been saving for a long time. I see so many buyers' letters that say, we've been saving for a long time. Sounds really great, right? As a buyer, you've worked so hard for all this great money, but the seller is going to say, well, why didn't they just have the money, right? Is that buyer not financially able to buy my house, even if you have a pre-approval? Mm. Other things that we see in these letters, people put a photo in, which is great. Make sure when you include a photo, you're not holding an alcoholic beverage. You're not at a certain place. Just kind of keep it generic, top of the mountain, ocean. Don't post anything that could be offensive to anyone. Just keep it vague.
Good.
So those are my tips for letters. The second thing that we're doing to help our clients win offers is we're using what's called an escalation clause. I don't know. Are any of you guys familiar with what an escalation clause is?
No.
Yeah. So it's a big term for essentially what eBay came out with like 10 years ago, which is auto bid, right? So that's the best way to describe it. So you tell that seller, hey, I'm willing to offer $100,000 for your house. But seller, I really don't want to miss out on your house over a couple $1,000s. You know, I don't know what these other offers are going to have, and I don't want to lose your house. So to help me and you, I'm willing to auto bid $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, whatever the increment you want, over another competing offer, up to, you know, $120,000, $150,000, wherever you're comfortable spending. And that's called an escalation clause. And I find those to be really, really helpful for both buyers and sellers.
So in that particular, with using an escalation clause, Tim, does that automatically, I would assume that automatically helps you because it's already built in to the, like to an offer. So you don't have to keep going back to a prospective buyer, right? So it's like, oh, I have authority to offer up to this amount or whatnot.
Yeah, it's all already in there. So the seller sees it and so does the listing agent right off the bat. But what will happen is once they, you know, figure out where you land in that increment. So in the scenario between 100 and 120, if you end up on 118, then that listing agent is going to come back to that buyer's agent and say, hey, we're at 118. And then you're going to revise all the paperwork and get it signed at that amount.
Awesome. Excellent.
That's a really good tool or a really good strategy. I like that a lot.
Thank you. That's one of my favorite ones. I mean, there's all types of little things that you can do, but those are the two biggest ones that, you know, we've been recommending to our buyers.
Very good. Very good. So Tim, what is, in terms of the home buy, you know, how is home buying different if you already have a home and you want to move up in a larger home in this market?
Yeah, that's the buyer that has actually really been the most impacted by everything in the market. Our first time home buyers actually have a little bit of a jump on these people because they don't have a house to sell. And if you own a house currently and you're looking to upsize, you probably need to sell the house that you're in before you buy your next one. You're most likely using the equity that you have in that house to put down on the new one. And I think it's really hard on these people because when the seller is looking at multiple offers, they don't want to have another contingency or risk that the deal would fall through, right? Because that other person's house has to sell. So you can almost get this domino effect of this person's has to sell for this house to be bought, for them to buy their house. And it can be a really sticky situation. So that's the buyer that's really most impacted by this. A lot of people that are move-up buyers, as we call them, are going into a short-term housing for 6 months, you know, in hopes to get into something without that contingency. It is still possible for the contingency to get accepted, but it's a lot trickier.
Right. Yeah. Especially in this market. Tim, you do a fair amount of lending with Triangle. A lot of your clients come to us for, you know, their lending needs on mortgages and whatnot. What do you consider to be the best lending option for new homeowners and why?
So I've actually done a bunch of my own mortgages through Triangle, and we do recommend a lot of our first-time buyers to Triangle. And the reason or the product that I like to recommend to people is your ARM, which is an adjustable rate mortgage. I think it's a really great option for a first-time home buyer. And the reason for that is because the ARM offers a lower rate for the first 5 years. And when I talk to a lot of our first-time home buyers, they're not going to stay in that house more than 5 years. So they're getting in for a lower rate, which will help them save money for that move up house. And they're starting to build their wealth there. So I think that that's a really great option. It's not for everyone, but it's something that I talk to our clients about and your loan officer will talk to you too. But it's a really, really great option for people.
And I'm going to do a little bit of a shameless plug on this one too, because if you are looking for an adjustable rate mortgage, we do offer actually up to terms up to 40 years. So that means a much lower payment, you know, in the long run, right?
That 40-year mortgage has like saved so many buyers. Mm-hmm. It allows you to buy a bigger house, be more competitive in that multiple offer situation, and still stay comfortable in your payment, which is really important. Awesome.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this short message from our sponsor.
Do you have a Triangle debit or credit card? If you do, card control just got easier. Our TCU Cards app offers new tools you can use to manage your cards. Lock and unlock your cards instantly to manage spending. Check your transactions and pay card balances right from within the app. Set alerts for usage parameters and notifications based on whenever or wherever your cards are used. Keep control of your Triangle cards all in one place and manage them right from your phone. Download the TCU Cards app today or visit trianglecu.org for more details.
So Tim, we actually, we do have a few questions from some of our listeners that had submitted these a little bit earlier. So could I pass these on to you and have you address some of these?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. All right. So does one type of loan, is one type of loan better for a first-time home buyer?
Yeah, I think it really depends on each person's situation. Like we just talked about, that ARM is really great for a lot of buyers. But if you're buying your forever home and you're a first-time home buyer planning on staying there long-term, you might be better in a fixed-rate 30-year mortgage. But I think it really depends on your financial situation. And, you know, like I said, I really love the ARM for first-time buyers, but you've got to work through with your loan officer, you know, what's the best fit ultimately for you. Good.
So, Tim, what should a new home buyer do in preparation for searching for a new home?
Well, that's an awesome question. And that's probably the most common one that we get. And it's get pre-approved. You've got to start off knowing how much you can afford before we can start that fun house search. And I always tell people, get all your information into your loan officer, start building that rapport. And then once you know how much you're approved up to, figure out where you're comfortable, right? Triangle's awesome. They're going to give you that number of the house that you could buy. But if you like to vacation every weekend, you want to go out to dinner, you might not be comfortable up to that top amount. So you've got to figure out where your comfort level is there. So that's the number one step for people. The second thing that we tell our clients to do is make a wish list. This is something that Terry and I talked about earlier, is when we first sat down, we made goals. You know, hey, Terry, where do you guys want to be? You know, how much house do you want? How many bedrooms, bathrooms? And that's a really important thing, because I'm going to hold you as a buyer accountable to that. Hey, Terry, you really said...
He does that, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he does that.
Hey, Terry, you said you wanted to be closer to, you know, your work and your church. Why are we moving farther away now? You know, what's the motive for that? And often...
Because that looks like a mansion out there in the middle of nowhere, Phil.
and that's fine, you know. But if I come back to you and you say, you know, that's that perfect house for me, it's now worth a 40-minute commute, let's go. Let's go check it out. But
right. Right.
For you, it was like, oh, I just kind of wanted to see it, which is fine too. So that's a really important thing, is making that list of things that you really want.
Right. Now, going back to that getting pre-approved, let's say someone is approved for, I don't know, let's call it 400,000. Should, especially in this market right now, should they be looking for homes if they're comfortable up to that 400,000, let's just say, should they be looking for homes in the $350,000 range, so they have that room to negotiate up to that 400?
Absolutely. Well, that's a really, really great point, is I tell people, stay under your threshold, because if you're approved at 400 and you're looking at 400, it's just not going to happen in this competitive market. So look at 350, look at 375, and stay positive. I think someone had asked too, what's the biggest tip that I give to first-time buyers in this market? And that would be actually be resilient. And that goes back to that multiple offer situation, is we're telling all our buyers, like, be resilient, because it's really discouraging out there right now, but we're going to do our best and we're going to have to work through it. But you got to bounce back. You know, a no is a door closed and we're going to move on to the next opportunity. But stick with it.
Right.
Good, good.
So another question that we had from a listener is, how much money should I have in my savings for a down payment?
Yeah, that's another great question, and probably one of the more common ones that we have. So everybody likes to talk about the down payment money on a house. You know, everyone says, oh, I'm saving up 20%, or I'm saving up 10%. And it really varies situation to situation. The more money that you put down, the lower your payment is going to be. So if you're like payment focused and you want to get to a certain number, you're going to need a bigger down payment. And I think Triangle offers a 3.5% down mortgage for a first time home buyer. So that's all you need to get into your first house, is 3.5. What I tell people is, once you get up to 20% down, once you've saved that 20% down payment, you eliminate PMI, which is private mortgage insurance. And that insurance actually protects the bank in case you defaulted on the mortgage. And that PMI will generally cost between $50 to $200 a month. And it's based on your credit score, and how much money under that 20% that you're putting down. And you have to pay that until you reach that 20% equity in the property. So, you know, it all varies based on your payment, but the loan officers are really good. Don't be discouraged if you don't have 20% down. Most of our buyers that come to us do not have a 20% down payment. They've got more like 3 to 5. So if you're feeling like you don't have enough money and you only have that 3%, 3.5%, still come to us. We want to talk to you. We want to work through it. The loan officers at Triangle want to talk to you about it, I'm sure. So don't be discouraged about that.
That's a good
great point.
Yeah, that is a good message too, Tim, because I do feel like with the prices of housing going up, or, you know, up inflated right now, there are so many people that have been so diligent about saving money, and they still don't, they haven't reached that 20%. Yeah. So that is, you know, that's a good message. Okay. I have the next question here. So with so many people now working from home, there's a lot of flexibility in terms of where they can live. So what would you say, the question is, which part of Southern New Hampshire would be most affordable for somebody who's looking for a house?
Yeah, right now we're seeing Hillsborough County be a little bit more affordable than Rockingham. Of course, Hillsborough is really mixed because if you know the geography of the state, you've got Nashville, which is a very hot market, and all following Route 3 up to Manchester. So I'm telling our buyers who are looking for that bang for the buck and to stay, you know, within their price range, if you head west a little bit into areas like Wilton and Milford, you can get a lot more bang for your buck than in right in Nashua.
Okay. Good.
The next question that we got, Tim, was what should I look for in terms of property taxes? Is it better to escrow them? How do I find out which town or city has the lowest tax bracket? And should I factor in taxes when looking for a new house?
You know, Will, tax rate is a really, really great question. And it's one that a lot of people don't think of. So this is an awesome place. And I tell people, if they're looking for tax rates, you can go to most of the town's websites and they have it displayed right on their website. And also the state issues a list of tax rates city by city. So the flip side of that question that we never get is, how are taxes determined? So although the tax rate's really important, that tax rate is actually multiplied by your assessment, how much the town has assessed your house for in order to come up with your tax bill. And so sometimes people get stuck on saying, well, this town has a $22 tax rate and this one has a $30 tax rate. So 22 must be more affordable. Well, the reason that that town has a $22 tax rate might be because their houses are a lot more expensive. So the town's getting a lot of revenue in. They don't need that higher tax rate because the houses are worth a lot more money in that town. Whereas the town that has the higher tax rate, the houses aren't worth as much. So that tax rate has to be higher so that town can bring in the money. So you've got to look at both of those factors to determine the property taxes. And they vary a lot house by house. So when you're looking and evaluating whether you want a house, you know, factor in those taxes because that makes a really big difference in New Hampshire.
Right. And to kind of add to that, my understanding is that the tax, and you mentioned this already, but I just want to kind of confirm it. Taxes are based on the assessed value, not necessarily what the house will sell for.
That's correct? Exactly it. So key difference here, assessment is done by the town to determine the taxes. That's an assessment. An appraisal is done when you're buying a property or refinancing it, and that's the market value of the property. So the market value of the property is an appraisal. The town's value of a property is an assessment.
Got it. Okay. Great.
So, and Tim, going back to the escrow part of this question, I understood, and I'm not an expert at all, but I understood that in terms of escrowing, that might actually vary from lender to lender, right? I mean, sometimes you can escrow your taxes and sometimes you can't.
That's correct. And if you're putting less money down on your mortgage, oftentimes lenders require you to escrow. But if you're putting a bigger chunk down on your mortgage, sometimes they don't require an escrow. I always tell people it's a great way to just, it's a savings account essentially with your lender. If you put too much money in, they're going to give it back to you. If you put too little in, they're going to ask for more. So I recommend, especially for a first-time home buyer, just escrow those taxes. That way you don't have to think too much about it.
Yeah. I will say this too. Tim really persuaded me, because I used to escrow my own taxes and I would always get really, you know, a high level of anxiety every time our tax bill would arrive. And when we moved to Nashua, and we went with Triangle. They hold our mortgage, but he was like, "Terry, you need to escrow your taxes. Let them escrow your taxes." And he said, "The best feeling ever is when you get that tax bill and all you have to do is send it in for payment." And Tim, I hear those words at least twice a year. And it's such a comforting feeling when that tax bill comes in, to just forward it over and say, "Here, you know, here's our tax bill," and have that paid. It's very comforting.
Yeah, that's a really great feeling.
Yeah, that must be a good feeling. I just wanted to ask one last question. I know we have one more listener question, but before we get to that, I want to ask Tim. Tim, what is one piece of advice that you would leave to our listeners before we close this out?
That's a great, great question. Well, I think that for buyers, it's to be resilient and, you know, stay focused. Stay focused on your dream of buying a home. If you're a seller listening to this, be strategic when you place your house in the market to make sure that you're maximizing the amount of money that you get out of it. I think that those are two really, really important things. And I know it's easy to get beat up out there right now, but those are my biggest tips for buyers and sellers.
Awesome. Thank you.
Tim, I have a follow-up question too, but just in terms of, like, I know that you've been in the real estate industry for a while now. Can you just talk a little bit more about what drew you into this industry, and is it all that you ever thought that it would be?
Yeah. So, I'll give you a kind of brief story on how I got into the business. When I was growing up, my house was on the market for about 6 years, with four different real estate agents. And it finally sold. And I just kind of thought to myself, you know, when I got older and was looking for a career, you know, why did that happen? And like, these real estate agents pulled up in super nice cars and they were dressed really nice, and I'm going to be like that. So I got into real estate, you know, trying to be that person. And it's everything that I've hoped and more. I really do love it. And I think you have to love it to be in this business, because it's not all shiny cars and nice clothes. It's a lot of work. And I think that the average person doesn't really get how much goes into being a realtor, because as soon as we're leave standing with our clients, our job has just begun. There's so much that happens behind the scenes there. And I've had the pleasure to work with, you know, hundreds of clients in Southern New Hampshire. I'm in the top 10% of people across the state and country. So it's a lot of work, but I really, really love it. And I've had a lot of fun along the way. And I'm really honestly thankful for my clients and, you know, people that have given me the opportunity to work for their business. I really love it.
Excellent. So we'll definitely have this in our show notes, but how would people what's the best way to get in contact with you?
Just call me on my cell phone. They can call me. That's the best way to reach me, or shoot me a text message. Like Will said, I'm pretty responsive generally, unless I'm with a client, so I'll get right back to them.
Okay. Do you mind sharing your actual phone number or your email?
Yeah, my phone number is 603-769-1571.
All right.
Perfect.
I'm ready for that last question.
Okay. Well, actually, I do have one last question before we do the rapid fire. Will, is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
So the last question from our listeners is, it's actually not so much from a seller, but why should I use a buyer realtor for my search? Because again, Tim, a lot of these tools are out there, right?
Yeah.
So you would be able to go out and, you know, go through your the real estate apps and things like that. So, you know, is there a lot of value in having a buyer realtor?
100%. So the app will only get you so far. And I think what a lot of people might not know is a listing agent or a seller's agent, those are interchangeable people, they actually represent the seller's best interest. So when you walk into that open house, they don't care about you. They don't know your backstory. They don't, you know, have a financial interest in you. And the reason that you'd want to hire a buyer's agent, someone who would represent you as a buyer, is because that person's going to represent your best interest. They're going to keep your information confidential, and then they're going to negotiate on your behalf. It's my job as a buyer's agent to guide people through the home buying process, giving them valuable advice each step of the way. And most of our buyers find that we actually save them money. These little tips and tricks will save them thousands along the way. And ultimately, more important than that actually in this market is just securing the house. Buyer's agents right. know what it takes to get the offer accepted, to get the deal done. And that's really important right now. Also,
excellent.
Very cool.
Most people don't know, but actually buyer's agent doesn't cost you anything. Commissions vary agent to agent. So you'd have to talk with your buyer agent, but 99.9% of our buyers don't pay us anything. So we get paid outside of the transaction. So there's no money coming out of your pocket, for us to represent you as a buyer's agent.
Excellent. That's a great point. Cause I you're right. I don't think a lot of people know that.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people don't understand that those commissions are split, and, you know, to have someone advocate for you, you automatically anticipate that you're going to be paying them big money, but it's not the case.
Right. All right. So we're going to move into our rapid fire section of the podcast, and it's the last section. And basically what it is typically, and I'm going to do things a little bit differently today, but typically what we do is that we ask you a this or that question. So hamburgers or hot dogs, for example, and then you say the first one that comes to mind as soon as you possibly can.
Okay.
Because you're a realtor in New Hampshire and in Massachusetts, I'm going to do kind of like a New Hampshire edition of rapid fire.
Ooh, this sounds great.
And some of them aren't this or that. It's simply like, for example, I have your favorite lake in New Hampshire, like, and you just say the first one that comes to mind. So I'm going to start off. I have 8 questions, and then you just say whatever you can as quickly as you possibly can.
All right.
Cool. So let's start. White Mountains or Hampton Beach?
White Mountains.
Skiing or wakeboarding?
Skiing.
Favorite pizza place in New Hampshire?
Sal's Pizza.
Coziest town in New Hampshire?
North Conway.
Good one.
Funnest city in New Hampshire?
Nashua.
Favorite breakfast place?
What's the name of that place out in Mason? Parker's Maple Barn.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that's a great one. That's a very good one. Yes.
Good one.
Very good one. Second to last one here. Your favorite lake?
Winnipesaukee.
And the last one, New Hampshire or Massachusetts?
New Hampshire. Live free or die.
I love it. Love it. Love it. That's all I got.
All of a sudden we look at all of the subscribers in Massachusetts. I'm just like,
no, I love Mass too, but I live in New Hampshire, so I'm a little biased.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you, Tim. This was a great episode. I had a lot of fun. I'm sure Terry did as well. And thank you for being on the show today. Any last words you want to leave?
Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And you guys at Triangle Rock. So thank you so much for the invite.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate your time.
Perfect. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
This has been the Making Money Personal Podcast with Will and Terry. For more information on all of Triangle Credit Union's products and services, feel free to visit us at trianglecu.org. If you have any questions or a subject that you'd like us to cover in a future episode, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at tcupodcast@trianglecu.org, and we'll do our best to cover it on a show. Thank you and take care.
See you later, guys.